Hallelujah. So good to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Are you ready to receive the word this morning? All right. So Move and Groove is something that we are starting for the first time. It's going to be just a quick announcement. It's going to be super easy, but also a little bit harder for those who are already working out. So it'll be a variety of things that everyone can join. All the women can join. So don't be like, oh, I've never even walked one whole km in a day. So never mind, just come. It's going to be a fun time, all right. And then also Pastor Isaiah, that is coming on Unified Night. That day we spoke to Pastor Justin about this, and Pastor Isaiah has a tremendous testimony, so do come for that. That's going to be a very important time. Bring your unsaved loved ones to come as well. Don't just come and enjoy, think, oh, it's just going to be worship. No, it's going to be a powerful time. Amen. We are believing for salvation for our families. Amen? And so do come. Bring them and come. Because it's going to be a powerful time and you will see something happen in your life as well as in your family's life. Hallelujah. All right, let's get into the word. So today, the title of my message is The Cry That Couldn't Be Ignored. The Cry That Couldn't Be Ignored. Now, last week when I already prepared another message, and then I told Pastor Stephen, oh, I'm so excited, this is what I'm going to preach on. And I told him, then he's like, Jonathan is also preaching on that verse. I'm like, oh man. So I had to change the whole thing. But it's okay, because that means it's a good thing, because God is speaking the same thing, amen, to the body of Christ, and it's exciting, right? So today, we are going to look at the text from Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more. Everyone say, all the more. Wonderful. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside. Everyone say, throwing his cloak aside. He jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you are a good God and you are the God of the Bible. So God, we are believing, Father, that today you will be so evident in our lives, Father. I pray for the hearts of your people that they will be able to receive what you have to say. And I pray, God, that as I speak, Father, bring clarity. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. So Jesus asked him a question. What do you want me to do for you? I think that question, actually the answer to that question should be quite simple, right? What do you want me to do for you? Of course, he wants healing. But think about it in our context today. When we go to the hawker shop, sometimes there's a beggar that comes along. He's selling tissue or he's selling pens, right? Have you seen those? Yeah, Shah Alam area a lot. I don't know about other areas, but so they come. And they will beg. And if we would ask the person, what do you want me to do for you? What would the person answer? I want money, right? I want money. Can you buy some tissue? You just give how much you have, lah. Today we had a guy come to our table and he didn't have a limb, one arm. Okay? When we were having breakfast, he didn't have one arm and he was selling tissue. So I asked the kids, if I would ask him now, what do you want me to do for you? What do you think he's going to answer? He'll probably say, buy tissue lah. What else? He won't say, I want my arm to grow. Would he say that? No, right? But the guy said that to Jesus. Why? Because he knew who Jesus was. He knew who Jesus was. He was aware that Jesus was a healer. Okay, now when we think about it, we think, oh, that time, Bible time, everybody knows who Jesus is. Every single person. But if you think about it, if just say there's a prophet in our midst here, and everyone knows about it, there will be still some people who are not aware that there's a healer in our midst. Am I right? Think about it like that. So, but this guy was aware. That means he was in communication with people around him and he heard that there's a guy named Jesus who was a healer. Yeah? So this is very interesting. And then he sits there and he starts shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when they rebuked him, what did he do? He shouted louder. He didn't care what people said about him. He shouted louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't care. Now, shouting is a very emotional thing. Am I right? We just had FIFA World Cup, right? And then some of you would wake up at 3 in the morning, at 5 in the morning, and you would sit down in front of that box you call the TV, and then we start shouting. Even though we know those people in the TV cannot hear you no matter how loud you shout, right? Correct or not? You shout. You're like, hey, what are you doing with the ball? Bring it over this side. And you're shouting. There's an emotion that builds up. Sorry, Alexander's sleeping. Okay? There's an emotion that builds up. And Auntie Jo is shouting. So, there's an emotion. So, this guy had an emotion rising up inside of him that made him want to shout, Son of David, have mercy on me. There's an emotion that built up inside of him. Sometimes we shout for good reasons, right? Like, oh, we're so excited. We want to worship God. But sometimes we have bad reasons we shout, right? Especially mothers at home. Ah, we get so angry. We get so worked up. And then we shout. It's not like suddenly you just come in the house straight away. You shout, I want you ever! Right? It builds up, right? Correct or not? Hello? It builds up. The emotion builds up. Then we shout. It's not just tiba-tiba start to shout. Okay? So this is an emotion that builds up. Now, we're going to explore three parts to the question that Jesus asked blind Bartimaeus. All right? Three parts to the question. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Number one, a personal cry. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want? What is it that you want? It is a personal cry. What was this guy crying out for? He wanted something to happen in his heart. Now, God is looking at us as individuals. Individuals, each and every one of us. He loves each and every one of you. There is a reason why each and every one of you have showed up this morning. It's because Jesus loves you. Jesus has a plan for you. Sometimes we may think, oh, I'm just coming to church because I kind of had to. Somebody dragged me to church. So I'm just here because this is my religion. I'm a Christian, so I go to church on Sunday morning lah. But it is more than that. God wants to know you. What is it that you want? What is it that you want to do with your life? Amen? The blind man had the desire and he shouted out loudly. What is your faith? Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Just that, like that blind man. He had faith that Jesus could do something in his life. He had the faith. Sometimes we depend on others' faith. And it's fine. Sometimes we need somebody to intercede on our behalf, someone to stand with us. But we ourselves need to have a firm foundation. Young people listening, every one of us must have a firm foundation. If not, means we'll be easily shaken. The moment something goes wrong, we are shaken. We must have that personal relationship with Jesus. Now, when our kids were young and we would take them to shopping mall in the stroller, we would be walking and then suddenly the child starts crying. Young parents, you would know this feeling, right? When your child starts screaming in the stroller, starts shouting and shouting. And then they don't care. The child doesn't care whether people are watching or not. All right? What it wants lah. It doesn't matter who's watching me, who's looking at me, who's judging me. The mother will be like, oh my gosh. But the child doesn't care. But the moment the mother goes and picks the child up and cuddles the child or nurses the child stops. When you cry out to God, you cry out just like that blind man. He didn't care who saw him. He didn't care if you asked him to be quiet. He shouted all the more. And Jesus reached out to him. In your life today, church, cry out to him. Oh, there's so much more problems in the world that Jesus can care about. Why would he care about me? No, he cares for you. Individual, whatever situation you are going through this morning, church, he is interested. If you come, have been coming to church because my spouse asked me to help to come, or my best friend asked me to come, or my mother asked me to come, whatever it is, lah, you must find that relationship with Jesus for yourself this morning. So if that is you this morning, I hope that you will see this. Have that desperation, just like blind Bartimaeus. I need you, Jesus. I need you to do something. Because Jesus is saying, what do you want? What is it that you... It's you, okay? He's interested in individuals. It is between you and God. Don't let circumstances define you. Society labeled this guy. Even in the Bible, you see the title of that passage says what? Blind Bartimaeus receives his sight, right? When you read the Bible, it says blind Bartimaeus. Even the Bible labeled him blind Bartimaeus. We don't allow situations to define us. Don't allow situations to define us, to label us. Because he wasn't blind anymore, right? And we are not blind anymore because now we have Jesus on our side. All right? So don't allow. Amen? When we are desperate for God to do a work in us, individually, we must shout all the more. We must pray all the more. We must fervently seek after him all the more. Church, it is our time to rise up. It is our personal cry. Are we just playing church or are we serious about our walk with God? Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says this, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. It is a personal plea. It is a personal ask. How do you seek God? When you seek me with all your heart. James 4 verse 8 says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Seek God desperately. This morning, this is a reminder. Seek God desperately. God, I need you. God, I want to come near to you. And when you come near to God, he will come near to you. Romans 10 verse 13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Every one of us here today, when we call to the name of the Lord, he is there. He will save you. Amen? He is interested in individuals, you as an individual. Number two, a pure desire. A pure desire. What do you want me to do for you? What is it that you desire? What is it that you desire? He could have asked for money. He could have asked for a better begging spot. He could have asked for food. He could have asked for anything, but he desired to see. He desired for a healing, something that was bigger than anyone could imagine. He desired something that was not temporary, but something that was permanent. Are we seeking for a temporary fix? I'm not putting anyone down, but sometimes we just ask for something temporary. I also same, okay? I'm in the same boat. Sometimes we just ask for something that's temporary. God, I want a raise. God, I want a new job. God, I want my children to behave a bit better than before. You know, these are temporary fix, but you know what is permanent? A changed heart. God, change my heart. Change me completely. A pure desire. A desire to seek after Him. A desire to want more of His presence. So holy, yeah. Yes, so holy. Because when we change our hearts, when we have a desire, a pure desire, a desire to seek after Him, a desire to be more like Him, guys, life won't be the same anymore. Your life will be transformed when we have that pure desire. If we ask for something, God, transform my heart. Help me see people like how you see them. Help me make a difference wherever I go, whatever I do, whoever I talk to, help me make a difference. Oh my goodness, can you imagine your workplace? Can you imagine your family, your household? How joyous it would be, how peaceful it would be because you have changed? It will. It will make a difference. So when we say, God, give me that desire to be more like you, we need to start asking God for things that aligns with His word. A desire that is unadulterated, a pure desire. God, help me get rid of jealousy. Help me get rid of envy, hatred, malice. Help me, Lord, be more like you. And when we are more loving to those around us, don't you think situations will change? I believe it will. When we start having a heart that forgives those around us, we start talking to people differently. Am I right? We're not judging them anymore. We're loving them. A better place because God has done something in our hearts. Matthew 6 verse 33 says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." Seek first His kingdom. Seek first His kingdom. How do I seek God's kingdom? By spending time in His word. By praying, by praising, by worshiping. When you seek Him, the most important is to pray. To pray. And this year, our church has really risen up. I mean, having prayer meetings so often and all that. And you as a church need to also rise up together with your fellow family here. Rise up in prayer. Because when the church prays, it touches everything around us. A praying church will succeed. A praying church will grow. A praying people will experience God like never before. Miracles will begin to happen. Salvation will come into the house because you are praying, because we are praying. Amen? Seek first His kingdom. And then everything will work out. Psalm 20 verse 4 says, "May He give you the desire of your heart and make your plans succeed." And that is God's desire for us, that our plans will succeed. But we need to put Him first in all that we do. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, "Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desire." Pray. When you spend time in the presence of God, it is not a time that you moan and groan and, "Oh my goodness, I have to pray again." No, it is a joyous time. It is a time that you are spending with the Father, with your best friend. Yesterday in youth, we were talking about this as well. To spend that time with God, because God wants to spend that time with you. He is waiting for you to say, "God, I love you. God, I want to be in your presence." And when you get into His presence, oh, you don't want to leave that place. Amen? Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. To take delight in God means to find fulfillment in Him rather than pleasures of the world. Huh? What's the difference? Find the time means you're like, "Oh, in my busy schedule, I'll find some time to pray. I'll find some time to read the Word of God." But when you make time, when you make the time to sit down and say, "I'm going to sit down right now, I'm going to shut the door, lock the door, read the Word of God," that is making the time to be in the presence. And you will see the difference in your life. Amen? Make Him the priority. "La, Joanna, I'm not there yet. I have a lot of sin in my life. I have a lot of things that are blocking me. I don't have the time. I cannot. Well, church, it's time to get our life right. Ouch. Yes, I said that. It's time to get our life right. If there are things in our life that does not belong there, It is time to get rid of it. This beggar threw his cloak, if you read the word. He threw his cloak. The moment they said, come, Jesus is calling. What did he do? He threw off his cloak. Something that was hiding him. Something that was protecting him. Something that he felt secure in. Something that was holding him back. He threw off his cloak. He went to Jesus and he received his sight. That means he's saying, I'm not going to go back to that anymore. Of in faith, say, God, I'm going to get rid of my addiction. I'm going to get rid of my sin. I'm going to get rid of this thing that is holding me back because I know that your plans for me is better than what I had before. Amen? And that is what God wants for us. Now, sometimes we treat God like Waze. Waze, right? You know what's Waze, right? Okay, so in my car, I used to use Google Maps a lot. But now suddenly it doesn't want to work, so I have to change to Waze. And I like it because it tells me about the speed traps that are coming. It tells me where is the next bump. It tells me if the lane is closed. It tells me if there's potholes. And I drive in Klang, so there's a lot of potholes. So it's like pothole, pothole, pothole. But it tells me, it warns me, right? And so it's nice to have that. But sometimes we treat God like Waze. We say, okay, God, this is what I'm going to do. This is where I'm going to go. We have to get our lives right so that we can walk in the freedom. Amen? God has a special plan and purpose for you. And we've said that many times. When we trust God, God, change me. Change me. Change me to be a better person. Change me to be a humble person. Change me to be a loving person. Change me to forgive. Change me to see the good in those around me. Things will be better. Amen? And He will grant you the desires of your heart. A pure desire. A pure desire. God, change the desires of my heart to be more like You. Amen? Number three. A path transformed. A path transformed. What do you want me to do for you? Change completely. Verse 52, it says, go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight. He already got his miracle. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. This blind Bartimaeus followed Jesus. Now we want the miracles of the Bible. But are we willing to live like the people of the Bible? Meaning, if you want to receive healing in our life, are we willing to throw our cloak and follow Jesus? In the upper room, the disciples stayed there and prayed and prayed and prayed until they received power from on high. Are we willing, to spend that time in God's presence? The church prayed earnestly when the pastors were in jail in the Bible. Paul and all were in jail. The church prayed earnestly. Are we willing to gather as a church and pray when someone is going through a hard time in our church? Jobs to follow Jesus. Wow. Are we willing? Been doing things all along. It needs to change. Things needs to change. We have to change. And I'm preaching to myself as well. There are things in my life as well that I need to get better at. A lot of things. Oh, God, help me. A lot. But here we are in a church where we have one another. If you are struggling with an addiction, with a sin, with whatever it is, and it is hard. I'm not saying, just stop lah. No, I'm not saying that. I know it's hard. That's why you have a church, you have cell group leaders, you have pastors, someone you can trust to be your mentor and to guide you and help you along the way. You can't do it on your own. Yes, with God's help, I can do all things, but at the same time, depend on people who can be your mentor and can help you get rid of that addiction, can help you heal in your relationship, can help you in a lot of things in your life. But we must be willing to have the transformed path. You must be willing. You're not just showing up to church because it's a religious thing anymore. You must have that personal experience with Him if you want that transformed path. Amen? No one's going to force you. Now, when this guy encountered Jesus, at first he thought, maybe I can get a healing, maybe. But when he experienced Jesus, he experienced the Lord. He experienced the healer, someone that was not just a healer, someone that was so amazing that made him say, I want to follow this guy. His whole life took that dramatic turn. Luke 9 verse 23 says, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. Must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. What does that mean? It means to give up our selfish ways. It means to surrender wholeheartedly to the Lord. To give up on sin, addiction, things that draw you away from God. Now, addiction, I'm not talking about addiction to drugs or addiction to pornography. I'm also talking about an addiction to being on your phone. Addictions to, I don't know, what else? To working out. Mommy said, I hope you're not addicted to working out. I said, too late. Okay, but anyway. So different addictions that draw you away from God. What is drawing you away from God? It's time to get rid of it. And maybe if it's addictions that is good for you, then okay lah. But okay, addictions that's bad for you, then cannot lah. Another disclaimer. Okay, but addictions that's bad for you, that's drawing you away from God, cannot. You cannot. We have to say, God, I surrender myself to you, because sin will eventually find you out. Very quiet. Sin will eventually find you out. So if you are living in sin, church, we have to stop it. Sometimes you say, oh yeah, la, living a double life la, in church, holy, holy, outside now, we're doing this, that, and the other. It's not double life, you know. You know why? Because God sees all. So it's the same life. It's actually a same life. The life you're living outside and the life you're living in church is actually a same life. It's double to maybe those you see around you, but to God, He sees all. He knows your heart's desire and He wants to meet that heart's desire. He sees the naughty things that you do. He sees the good that you do. He sees all. And He still chooses to love you. This morning, the cry is this. God loves you. And He's giving you a second chance. He's giving you a chance to come clean before Him. He sees all. One of the mornings when we were getting ready for school, me and my kids, and the kids were a bit naughty, like Carsten. Like Carsten was naughty. So, yeah, I'm naming names, dropping names here. So anyway, Carsten was naughty, okay? So he said something or did something. I don't remember what exactly, but I got angry. So I shout at him, but before I can smack him or whatever, he ran into the bathroom, shut the door and locked it. He locked the door. Okay, then I just like, whatever lah. Not even like 5 seconds later, Mommy! He shouts, help! Mommy, help! I'm like, what is it, son? What is it? A cockroach! Cockroach, huh? See? Mommy cannot get you, God cannot get you, cockroach get you. Padan muka. Then somehow he locked, so I cannot open. Okay, but the thing is this. Y'all want the full story, yeah? Huh? Want the full story, yeah? Okay, so I tell the full story, yeah? So after that, he cannot open, right? So then I say, cannot open, ah? You locked, that's why I cannot help you. You're locked, lah. Take the key, take the key, take the key. I said, I don't know where's the key. Actually, I know. So anyway, I took the key eventually and opened for him and he came out. I said, see, son, God knows when you do something wrong. When you disobey mommy, sin will find you out. Hello? Huh? Cockroach. Cockroach. All right. So then some more he said, very big, you know, the cockroach. Where it got so big one? Very big, this big. Oh, cockroach not so big. Okay, anyway. But yeah, sin will find you out. So when we do, we laugh, right? But when we do wrong things in our life as adults, we think we can hide. We lock the door. Nobody can see. Hello? God sees all. God is not a cockroach. But God sees all. God sees and He knows. And with His grace and mercy, we have gotten away with a lot of nonsense, right? But sin will eventually find you out. So this morning, I want to tell you, this is the Holy Spirit speaking through the church right now. Get rid of things that are holding you back from achieving what God has in store for you. God has so much in store for each and every one of us. He has so much in store. But some things are holding us back. That cloak over the blind Bartimaeus. If he would have left that cloak on and just sat there and Jesus walked by and he called, Jesus, 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 help, help. Jesus never see him. Okay, la, just continue. La. He wouldn't have received his sight. He wouldn't have received that healing. But he shouted, God, help me. And this morning we need to say, God, help me. I'm desperate. I need you in my life. I need you. And he says, come, come. Just like a mother reaches out to her child and says, come. Jesus reaches out to us this morning and says, come. Then he threw off his cloak and he came to Jesus. He received his healing and he received a transformed path. Amen. Can I have the worship team? This is a church, like I said earlier, this is a church where we come to seek God, yes, but also it is a church where we want to receive our healing. We want to receive something from God. We want to receive a changed heart. God, help me. I've been doing the same thing for the past, I don't know how long, but I need a change in my life. Now, the altar is always open. The altar is always open. If you come, if you don't come, it doesn't make a difference to me. Okay? It doesn't make a difference. Whether you come to the altar or don't come to the altar, it's okay. But I want you to experience God for yourself this morning. In your own seats, wherever you are, I want you to experience God for yourself. Let's rise to our feet.